Well, I have no slides. I kind of enjoyed the thought of giving a presentation and not having any slides, because I don't do that very often. In your handout material that you can access, there are descriptions of the two clinics where I practice, so I won't tell you the details of all of that. But I currently practice in two primary care practice settings as a psychiatric pharmacy specialist, which is kind of weird if you think about it. I practice in a geriatrics primary care clinic, and of all things, I practice in a rheumatology clinic. I don't know anything about rheumatology. I can't even pronounce the names of the drugs they use in rheumatology. But, you know, what am I doing as a psych pharmacy specialist in these kind of clinics? I spent 30 years doing what a psych pharmacy specialist should do, and that's practicing in psychiatric settings. psychiatric hospital, psychiatric clinic. But about 12 years ago, I did a sabbatical and came back and thought, I need to do something a little different. And what is true, as far as why would I go into primary care, psych meds are used to a significant extent in primary care settings, not just by psychiatrists. And they're used very poorly in most settings. If you think about it, the typical waiting room of a primary care clinic, 10% of the people sitting in that waiting room meet criteria for major depression. Probably if you add in the chronic disease states or talk about elderly patients, it's more like 20% of the people sitting in that waiting room meet criteria for major depressive disorder. What the literature tells us is half of those patients are never identified and diagnosed as having a major depression. The half that are recognized, only half of those receive adequate treatment. So think how bad that is. You know, half of the patients with major depression are missed, and half of those that are diagnosed are inappropriately treated. So that's kind of the primary reason why I moved my practice into primary care, is hopefully to have some impact on that. I also wanted to kind of inject some psychiatry into ambulatory care pharmacy training programs. You know, some of you may have already started your APPEs. If you do an ambulatory care APPE, it's rare for any component of psychiatry to be part of that situation. Residencies for pharmacists in ambulatory care also don't have usually any kind of psychiatric training. If you think about in medicine, family medicine, internal medicine residencies for physicians have a big chunk of psychiatry as part of their experience because so many psychiatric disorders are seen in primary care. Yet in pharmacy, we're completely missing that. There's nothing in the standards for MCARE residencies to try to address any psychiatric component. So I spend most of my time with residents in our ambulatory care program, almost more so than our psychiatric pharmacy residents. So at least I get my hands on them and hopefully have some influence. Where could you practice as a psych pharmacy specialist in terms of primary care clinics? That's the good news, because there's so many more places, even more so than just thinking about psychiatric facilities. There's safety net clinics, there's public and private health clinics, there's VAs, there's HMOs like Kaiser. In my two clinics, I work with geriatricians and rheumatologists. I haven't worked with a psychiatrist in 12 years. It's kind of nice in some ways. 30 years with psychiatrists, but now it's rheumatologists and geriatricians. So I had a few surprises when I moved my practice from psychiatry into primary care. Some I'll tell you about. Depressive disorders. If you think about, like, as I said, most depression is missed or it's really badly, poorly treated. There's no diagnostic precision regarding depressive disorders in primary care. If you're lucky, the chart note will say, in quotes, depression, not adjustment disorder, dysthymia, major depressive disorder, bereavement, all the things that we are precise about in psychiatry. And so with that mentality of, well, depressed or depressed mood, and then sprinkle a little antidepressant and you hope things get better. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but not very much. Referral for psychotherapy is probably a really good idea, but yet that's often not an option coming out of most primary care clinics. So everybody gets 50 milligrams of sertraline. It's never titrated and adjusted upward to become an effective dose. People are left on the 50 milligrams of sertraline for years and years, even if it's not indicated. So there's so much that we can do as specialists in primary care settings. The anxiety disorders are no better. Again, it's anxiety. And what do you get? PRN, dinky dose, sprinkle of alprazolam or lorazepam, rather than referring that patient to psychiatry for some psychotherapy or SSRIs that should probably be used for primary anxiety disorders. There's another component to this story, and that is, you know, what are the limitations of what I would do as a psych specialist in a primary care setting? I need to know when to refer to psychiatry. I mean, I see patients that are referred to me for evaluation, and then I end up detecting not just depression, but primary anxiety disorders, bipolar patients, postpartum depression with psychosis, or just a diagnostic complex mess that needs to be figured out. I'm not going to try to handle that in a rheumatology clinic. I'm focusing on depression, so I'm referring many of the patients that are referred to me to psychiatry for that kind of an evaluation. Just to give you a quick example, in the rheumatology clinic, I'm doing a depression consult service. So the rheumatologists refer patients to me they think might be depressed, might need an antidepressant. 30% of those patients don't meet criteria for major depression. They don't need an antidepressant. So by being there, I'm keeping 30% of those patients off of antidepressants. If I weren't there, they'd all be on the 50 of sertraline. 20% I refer to psychiatry, leaving about half of the referrals are legitimate major depressive disorder, and we keep them in the clinic and we treat them. Okay, to kind of wrap this up, it's always fun to talk about controversy. Let me ask you two questions and then we'll address them. First, do you think an Amcare pharmacy specialist, because there are such critters out there now, can an Amcare pharmacy specialist manage psychiatric disorders in a primary care clinic? Think about that for a minute. And then the other question, to flip that around, do you think a psychiatric pharmacy specialist can manage chronic medical conditions in a primary care clinic? So if we go back to the first question, can an Amcare pharmacy specialist manage psych disorders? No, usually, not at all. You know, if we find that the primary care physicians do such a lousy job in identifying and treating psychiatric disorders, do you think an untrained in psychiatry Amcare pharmacy specialist is going to do any better? You know, that's not going to happen. The other side of that story, the second question, can a psych pharmacy specialist manage chronic medical conditions? Well, psych residencies are now PGY2s. And in your PGY1, you should be developing those skills and abilities to manage chronic medical conditions. So think about it. As a psych pharmacy specialist coming out of a PGY2, you are going to be highly desirable because you can compete for the jobs in ambulatory care and psychiatric facilities and do well in both of those settings. So we were asked to kind of suggest how you might prepare for a job in the areas that we're talking about. To me, a PGY1 with a bit of an AmCare focus, not an acute care focus, is probably your best bet, followed by the PGY2 in psychiatry. You're just going to be highly desirable with that kind of an experience. At USC, we just shifted away from an acute care focus in the PGY1 leading into the PGY2, and it's now all ambulatory care PGY1 that leads to our PGY2 in psychiatry. I'd urge you tomorrow, poster 97, our PGY1 resident is presenting this whole business about how she is engaging in, you know, inserting some psychiatric pharmacy practice within the ambulatory care clinics where she practices. And fortunately, Tuesday, one of the keynote addresses is by Dr. Stephen Chen, who is one of the leading AmCare pharmacists at USC, doing a lot of work in that area, and he'll be talking about the AmCare site collaboration in a keynote address. So I hope that's given you a few things to think about. It's a very good story with a very good ending for, I think, many of you. And I look forward to talking with you around the table instead of just at you.